Welcome to the Bifocal Podcast with John White and Jason Himmelstein, where we talk about business intelligence and the Microsoft stack with news, interviews, and expert opinions from around the space. This is episode 226, recorded on May 24th, 2022, where John and Jason go over the Power BI announcements for Microsoft Build 2022, such as changing from Power BI goals to Power BI metrics, new Power BI integration for PowerPoint, and a public preview of DataMarts in the Power BI service.
Hello and happy build, Jason.
Happy build to you too, John.
Oh, man. How are you now?
I am doing pretty darn well, man. There's news. I'm excited.
Well, it's been a while. It's been a little dry for a while. And normally we don't get all that excited about MS Build, neither one of us being developers and all. But it appears that this has been a vehicle for a little bit of Power BI news.
You know, our dear friend Andrew Connell has taken to Twitter about the fact that this used to be the place that developers would go. MS Yep. Build would be where developers would go to hear all of the news and exciting things and the five-year roadmap and vision for the developer-y things. And it's just not only that anymore.
No, it's not.
There still are some developer things there, but to his point, not nearly as much from the deep, hardcore dev perspective. Like, I remember when Build used to sell out in a matter of hours and the developers used to get devices. There was the Oprah moment. Look under your chair and you're going to find a Surface device and a phone device and a this and a that. And we used to be jealous, you know, because the developers would go to San Francisco for Build and they'd come home with all this really cool gear. And now it's online. Yep. And honestly, I'm really excited about this from a Power BI perspective
because,
you know, Build just started and we already have big news that's been announced.
It's pretty huge.
You know, there were a couple of things that hit the Power BI blog and then, you know, on Tuesday, and then big announcements in Arun's and Priya session here on Wednesday. So we're really excited to be able to record this and get it out in line so that we can share the news and announcements with you. So without too much further ado, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors and then let's dive right into some of this news. Because, man, I don't even care about the weather today. That's how exciting this is.
Screw the weather. Yeah.
This episode of the Bifocal Podcast is sponsored by tyGraph, the award-winning reporting and analytics platform for Office 365. Get the full picture of your Office 365 network by using tyGraph. See how customers leverage its actionable insights to better understand their organization's usage, collaboration, and adoption patterns. Try tyGraph today. Sign up for a free trial at tyGraph.com.
All right, John. So, you know, with Build starting today, we've got some of these announcements. Let's, before we dive into the really big thing that got announced by Arun, and we'll go into that. Let's start with some of the, let's call it smaller tidbits that got announced on the blog right out of the gates, but they're really not that small, to be perfectly honest.
Right. That's what I was going to throw it. In fact, the first one, it's actually retiring a piece of technical debt that was there in the, you know, the original Power BI, the one that nobody talks about anymore, in the Silverlight components. You could embed a report in PowerPoint and it would be live.
You're starting with that one. Follow our notes that we have. You're too excited about this one. So let's go ahead and do that one first. That's fine, John.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, man. This is really exciting. This, you know, for those of you who haven't had a chance to read it, if you go out to the blog, there is Tell a Story with Your Data announcing the all new Power BI integration for PowerPoint. It's all new, John.
Well, yes, it is. I mean, certainly in this iteration of Power BI, and the way it works is really, it's pretty slick. We had a chance to try it out. It works pretty much as advertised. And what it lets you do is you can essentially just grab the URL to any report, and then you can drop it into this add-on for PowerPoint. So you have to go get that add-on. If you want to try it out, just fire up PowerPoint. Go to the Insert tab, and then you'll go into Get Add-ons, and just look for the Power BI. There's only one that's an actual Power BI add-on. That'll load in.
Now, and there's one called Power BI Tiles. That's not the one you're talking about.
A different thing. That'll let you load tiles from a dashboard. It's a third party. It's been around for a long time. But this is just the Power BI add-in for
it's
PowerPoint.
It's called just Power BI.
Yeah. And you drop in the URL. Boom. your report's going to render. What's really, really cool is you can set the filters the way you want them on a given page, and it's going to persist when you save the PowerPoint. You can go to a different page, insert the very same report with a different set of parameters, and that works too.
So I don't like on, the way on, this thing on, works.
Yeah.
So we've had PowerPoint integration in Power BI before, John.
Right. Yeah, like, you can export the PowerPoint.
I get to export, and I get a static image, and if I click that's on right. it, it takes me back to
nothing
the report.
Happens.
So what you're telling me is that that's not what this is. This is
no.
This is actually interactive, live working back with the service, save in state. I can build out a PowerPoint deck with interactive Power BI on it where I've got things in the state that I want them in, but somebody could click into it and actually drill around.
Yes, absolutely that. It's pretty cool. And it's going to, I think it's fundamentally going to change the way we present at conferences, because instead of having to switch out to do a demo, we might be able to do it right in the context of the slide, depending on, you know, what's going on in that demo. But in some cases, that's going to fly. Yeah, it's totally interactive and totally customizable on a slide by slide by slide basis. It works, you know, think the web part in SharePoint, right? It's kind of the same thing. Everything's happening client side and it's interacting directly with the service. Single sign on, right? So you need to make sure that you're signed in to PowerPoint with the same identity of the tenant you're using Power BI with. Us multiple tenant people can get tripped up with that sometimes. But if you got that all set up, you're good to go.
All right, so let's talk about a couple of bugaboos first, John.
Mm-hmm,
because,
sure.
You know, there are a couple things here. You know, when we first did this, we were a little confused. There was some minor confusion. Number one, if you're listening to this on the day of drop, right, you may not have the Power BI icon showing up in the insert tab. So what John was saying about go to add add-ins and all of that, you know, you have to do that. However, if you've had your office updated, and you know the client has been updated, and it, you know, you should have this button next to the Microsoft Forms button, and you know the way that it's being shown here is it, you know, it should show up between illustrations and forms as Power BI. You should be able to click on that and just insert a Power BI report, and then you just need your report URL. If you don't have that, you do have to go to add-ins, and depending upon your ribbon, it may show up with get add-ins right there, or you may have to click on the down arrow and go do it manually, right?
Right, because the ribbon's added, responsive. Yeah.
Yeah, once you've added the Power BI add-in, right? Once you've got all of that and it's in there, and you're like, hey, why isn't it there? And you're like, it should show up in my ribbon now. It may not, okay?
Right.
So once you've done the office add-in, and you've gone out to the store, and you've added it once, you've closed everything out, you've come back around, you're like, hey, where is it? Well, again, and we talk about this when we do Power BI sessions, like it's a split icon, right? The add-ins button, you've got a top part of the button, which will take you to the store. There's a bottom, like the down caret looking button. If you click on that, it should, after a second, because it has to go out to the store to load it in, show you your most recent add-in, other things like that. So that's where you'll find that to start, okay?
Yep.
Second bugaboo for you, if you happen to share a report with somebody who doesn't have rights, what's going to happen, John?
It's not going to work because client-side. It's going to be the same as the SharePoint, the SharePoint web part. And the other person also not only does the other person need to have rights, they need to be licensed. So, of course, that other person either needs to have a pro license or that report needs to be backed in a premium capacity of some sort.
There we go. So just a couple things to note on this. This is awesome. The other cool thing about this is that you know, you can have it completely interactive, but there is an option for freezing the view. You can set it to show as saved image. Okay. So you can go back to a state where it's like, hey, I don't want people clicking around. I want to show the story that I want to show. Because some people want to do that. Like you want to walk into an executive presentation. You want to have that so that boom, boom, boom. And if you click on the wrong thing, it doesn't all of a sudden slice other data. You can save yourself that way. You can choose to just show it as a saved image, get everything the way you want it, but be able to make it use that view, be able to get things exactly how you want it, save the state of the image, and then make it so that you can't just click around in it. So other cool things about it. So I'm really excited for this. I think this is fantastic. This we had with the Power View world.
Yeah.
It was absolutely huge back in the Power Pivot for SharePoint days. As you said, that technical debt is now retired. I can't complain anymore.
No. We should probably move on to something that, well, at least I can complain about.
Let's do it, John. let's hear you whinge.
So Power BI Goals isn't going to be Power BI Goals anymore. It's going to be called Power BI metrics. Yeah. I don't like
that. I don't have much to say about that, John.
No, I'm sure you don't. But the reason is, we should get into the reason for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Power BI Goals was first launched, right, the office team went out and did an acquisition of a company called Ally.
Yeah. And it does OKRs.
It does OKRs. Well, what did Power BI Goals do?
OKRs. Interesting.
So in order to minimize confusion in the ecosystem, I think that we needed this, John. We needed somebody to give.
And well, so we didn't have two products in the market space called Goals because the Ally product got named Goals?
Yeah. So it's now Viva Goals, which got announced while we were at SharePoint, at 365 EDUCON in Seattle.
Yeah.
Right? And Jeff Teeper on stage made that announcement. And you and I both looked at each other and went, huh, I wonder. And I think we even mentioned it here on the show at one point. It
smells to me like somebody had an argument and somebody won, but that's another story.
Well, I don't know that there was an argument as much as I know, having listened to some of the conversations, that this felt like a better name to the team. Now, I know you disagree.
Well, I don't. So I think they had to change it. Certainly, I agree with that. Although metrics, really, because to my mind, a metric is something you're measuring specifically. Like it's a calculated. It's a measure. It's a calculated measure. That's literally in our product. That's what we call our calculated measures or metrics. So for me, that's going to be confusing a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, I get that a metric is, you know, something you're trying to track, I suppose. I don't know the goals is the right term, but I don't know. KPI would be a great name if you asked me. But no, I know we're not doing that. But I don't know what the right answer is. I just find it a little bit odd. So I don't necessarily love the name.
Looking at the blog post that Patrick Baumgartner did, and we're not going to drill into this much further because we actually are going to have Treb Gott on the show to come and talk about this. Treb does a much better job of talking about Power BI metrics than we do because he's been working with the team. Like, he's a huge proponent of this. But specifically here, Patrick talks about the fact that additionally, they're pleased to share plans for how Power BI will work with the new Viva Goals offering for Microsoft to empower organizations to more effectively meet their goals with OKR experiences connected to Power BI data delivered by Viva Goals. So it sounds an awful lot like we're coming together in the right way.
And I would think
there is crossover, but it's going to be done in the right way. So I'm looking forward to hearing more. And I think, because I know Treb works an awful lot with both the Power BI team and the Viva team, I'm looking forward to hearing his perspective. We're going to record an interview with him here in just a couple of days, so we'll get that out to you here shortly.
I think that's what we need to drill in on that, is have him at least delineate the reason to have two different products, or if there isn't one, you know, how they're going to come together. I'd like to know more about that. Not that I use this a lot, but I want to understand it.
Yeah, I think it's worth drilling into. But John, it's time to talk about the really, really big deal.
Okay, I don't have good sound effects. That's me.
That's okay. I think we can always ask Marco to drop in a drum roll, please. So the news leaked earlier than I think that it was quite expected, and I can explain a little bit as to why, because I started seeing stuff on Twitter round about Monday, and the announcement didn't get made until Wednesday. And honestly, the Twitter interaction was rather hilarious.
I haven't seen it.
It's been a lot of fun because people have started
Monday
to
was
see,
a Canadian holiday, so, you know.
Yeah, you guys in your holidays. I love it. It's very cute. So it started showing up on Monday. And the reason why it started showing up on Monday is because this is a preview feature that is being rolled out on Wednesday as a build. And the goal was to have it available for everyone by the time the build announcement happened. Well, in order to have that happen, as we know, because we've seen this for years, you have to start rolling things out ahead of time because otherwise you can't just flip a switch and go, the entire world now has this, and it just snap your fingers and it does. So it rolls out in trains and all of this, and, you know, starts off in, you know, the rings internal at Microsoft, and then eventually it rolls all the way out to the customer, right?
Yep.
But in order for everybody to have this in preview when the announcements get made, it had to start showing up. So astute Power BI users noticed this thing called data marts showing up in their tenants.
You didn't have to be that astute. I mean, a little ribbon popped up when you access a premium capacity that says, hey, data marts are now here. You want to try those? So, yeah, it was kind of hard to miss, really.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty funny that Twitter started going a little bit crazy on it. And there really wasn't much that we could say, right? Because the announcement was being made Wednesday. it's there, it's named, like you can go in and start playing with it right away, but there's no guidance being given yet. There's nothing being said because we're making announcements on Wednesday, dropping docs on Wednesday, all of these things. Like, hey, we want to have this big announcement. Our time slot was Wednesday, though, for build at 1 p.m. Pacific time. You know, like, it's a little bit late in the day. And so, you know, it gave us the opportunity and, you know, to be able to get this recording done ahead of time. You know, the team was gracious enough to provide us with some information to be able to talk to this in a little bit more detail and had an opportunity to talk with Priya Sathy, who is the group program manager in charge of this feature and everything. She has agreed to come on the show and do a little bit more of a deep dive with us. So because we're only going to be able to cover this in a more of a cursory level today, we're going to talk about what it is and the value prop and all of that type of stuff. But we really want to deep dive into it because this is a really big deal. Like, this is the beginning of something really cool. Again, because it's a preview feature. This is not, hey, it's GA instantly, right? This is the beginning. So, John, I've teased it out enough. I'm going to let you do a little bit more of the what is it type of thing, because I've mentioned the name now, but we haven't talked about what it is.
Are you drowning in spreadsheets? Are you gasping for a better reporting solution? Let Marquee Insights throw you a lifeline. They can help you chart a course to success with Power BI, then get underway quickly with one of their quick start solutions while learning the ropes from their experienced staff. If you're ready for reporting bliss, go to marqueeinsights.com and click the Get Started button and learn how they can help you make better, faster decisions with smarter data.
Okay, so what we have today with data flows in the pro service, in the regular shared service, is the ability to pull data from a data source and persist it in a data lake. That's really what a data flow is. You get the power query in the cloud and the ability to pull, and you store that data. If you've got a premium capacity, you can turn on the enhanced compute engine. And what that does is basically bring along a SQL server to add compute to that data. So you can do things like direct query, you can join tables, and things of that nature. All right. So we've got transformations, and we have storage. What's this data mart thing all about? Because on the surface, that's kind of how it's described. The interesting thing in particular with data marts is it brings along an automatically created data set so that data set can look at the data that's in the data lake and build calcs around it. And you can edit those calcs via a browser. And then you can build reports directly from there. You can connect directly to that data set that's in the service, and it's service only. And that means, first of all, if you, data flows today, even with the enhanced compute engine, you've got at least two hops from the data source before you hit the report, right? You've got to refresh the data for the data flow, and then you refresh the data of the data set in the report. And in this case, your report's going to be direct connected to that data set that's sitting in the service. You're with me so far?
I am, John.
All right. So that's really what it brings. That's really what the net new thing is. But to my mind, the very interesting part is this model editor. We've not had anything like a model editor in the service before. And you can now go end-to-end. We've been able to do things like from CSV and Excel files. We could pull data directly in the service and build a report directly off that. But it was extremely limited as to what you can do. We've got some intelligent capability around that with, say, a SharePoint list, et cetera, but you can't do much with that data set once it's created. In this case, we can. And what this, to my mind, is this is the beginning of the end-to-end dev and design experience in the browser without having to have Power BI Desktop. And that's not that you wouldn't want to and not you can't continue to, but this is opening up that possibility. What do you think?
Yeah, so I 1000% agree with you. So when we do our workshops, when we do our sessions at conferences, one of the things that we like to do is to show people the limitations that you get with the service for report creation.
Yeah.
Right? And we have a slide that's really pretty that shows the things you can do, like you can do a get data experience. And with the browser, it's limited, right? And this and that. As you're going down side by side, looking at Power BI service versus Power BI desktop, and you have these abilities. And the big gap there, John, the big gap has always been modeling. You could not do modeling in the service.
That's right.
Right. There was no model editing. There was nothing like that. Ha ha ha.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's exactly what this data marts feature brings to the table. This gives us the ability to do that data modeling in the service. This is the beginning for me of the answer to the user question from the Mac user. Well, what about me? Why can't I do model editing?
That's right.
When am I getting that the model editor for Mac? When am I getting Power BI Desktop for Mac? You know, for the Raspberry Pi user who's sitting there and really wants to be able to do model editing for the Raspberry Pi, why can't I do it? Why can't I have an installable on a Raspberry? Hey, guess what? You want to be able to do model editing on your Raspberry Pi and your TV with a little USB keyboard mouse? Guess what? This is your feature.
Yep. It's pretty interesting. Now, that model has got certain limitations. You won't be able to download it. So you won't be able to edit it, as far as I'm aware, with Power BI Desktop. You'll be able to connect to it with Power BI Desktop like you can any other model in the service. But you're going to have to use the browser experience to edit that, right?
This is a premium feature, right? So
it has to be
a premium Gen 2 workspace, which going forward must... everything is at this point. There's still some workspaces that are being upgraded and stuff like that. But for the most part, most people are on premium Gen 2. So it's going to be a premium per capacity or a premium per user.
Yes. You'll be able to use it in premium per user. Another couple of differences is it is going to be backed by SQL. That's what is going to store the data in this case, from what I understand. It's going to be a bit different than the Pro data flow. Remember, I described them as being stored in a data lake. That'll continue to be the case. So that's a difference between a data mart, call it a data mart data flow, and a regular data flow is probably the best. We might want to distinguish between those two. So that's a couple of other important differences. And it's not meant for massive loads, right? This is called data mart, not data warehouse. And I think that's an important distinction to make.
I agree with you, John. This is not meant for petabyte data sets or anything like that, that we have those in the service to begin with.
Neither is SQL. So there you are. No. Yeah.
So as you take a look at this and you start to play with it, logic comes into play. The way you described, we have data flows that are pro and then there's data flows that are premium. This is an extension beyond that premium data flow, right, into data marts, right? So the data flow loads the data in this situation into a data mart. That's how you get data into a data mart. In order for that to be the case, it has to have that SQL engine, the capability to it. Therefore, it has to be in premium. So there's logic that, from a flow perspective here, that's why it's not going to be a pro feature. It is going to be a premium feature. And with that, you are getting it as a part of PPU, which is really nice, and premium per capacity. So just the couple of lines of thought when I started looking at this, and it's like, well, what's the, the question is going to come up, why isn't this in pro? Well, it's an extension of premium to begin with. So that groks for me very well.
Couple other questions that immediately popped to mind is how do I use it? How am I going to consume this thing? And this thing, by the way, is both the data set and the underlying tables that are created within it. So you're going to be able to consume it by going into the service, go to the data set hub, create new report, bang. You're going to be able to edit that report in the service. Full fidelity with what you can do in desktop because you're connecting to an existing data set. In Power BI Desktop, you'll be able to direct connect it as well, like you can any other data set, right? There's going to be a connector. I think we talked about there's going to be a connector come out in an upcoming release of Power BI Desktop.
Correct. It is. We did ask Priya this question, and we did get told there is a connector coming for it. But to start with, there are ways of getting around it, and there may be some blog posts that come out about it. We're not going to go into detail on that. But for the moment, you definitely can connect up to it. It's just but to start with, use the service.
Yeah, the connector is going to let you connect, though, to, I believe the connector is going to let you connect to the underlying data tables, but using the credentials for the data set, essentially. So you don't have to go back and worry about SQL credentials and all that stuff. That's its value. Because you could connect to one of these data sets today in either a direct connect way with Power BI Desktop. And you could use what we're now calling composite models, thankfully, no longer calling it direct connect. Sorry.
You almost had it, John.
I almost had it. direct query for Power BI data sets and Azure Analysis Services, right.
There you go.
Essentially a composite model. So you can include that data set alongside of other external data sets with an internal data set in a composite report. So you can do all of those things today. The connector is going to let us connect to this SQL endpoint, or we'll be able to get to the SQL endpoint because that'll be part of the properties of that data mart that gets created. So if you wanted to connect to the underlying tables and say, forget about this automatically created data set, you'll be able to do that. And you'll be able to do that with any, shouldn't say any tool, but any tool that should be able to connect to SQL in the cloud.
There you go. So a couple of last minute things. There is ALM for this and deployment pipelines. They are going to be supported. And then, you know, there's a whole list in the docs stack that's going to be released about, you know, it should have been released already. I haven't gone and checked to see the website if it has been or not, but I know it's lined up to do that. Lots of good screenshots and documentation along the way for this. There is a data mart icon for the service, so you'll start to see that show up differently than data sets. So it'll be very obvious. There's a way to rename data marts, all of that type of stuff. And something interesting, data marts, lowercase d, unless it's at the beginning of a sentence, John.
Yeah. Fine. it's one word or two words?
It is one word.
That's okay. They'll probably change that later.
Yeah. When you look in the service and you look in the initial dropdown, it is capitalized, but that's because it's a standalone word. So same thing with goals, it seems, and other things like that. So, but one of the cool things here from a sharing perspective is we do get that OneDrive-like sharing capability. We get that dialogue and everything. So all of the same stuff that we're used to seeing. Oh, and you do get incremental refresh with this too, John.
Yeah. Incremental refresh is very important, obviously, when you're dealing with larger data loads. So, yeah.
There are some things worthy of note that are worth going off and reading the blog post. The idea behind this is that this is, you know, top end is supposed to be about 100 gig in the data set, right?
Yeah.
In the data mart itself. So saying it's not meant for the super large, this is meant for that intermediate size and smaller size workload.
Yeah, when you think it's backed by SQL Azure Database, that makes complete sense. You don't really want to push them beyond that a whole lot.
John, with that, I think it's time for us to go ahead and wrap this up. I'm really excited about this new feature. I'm ready to go start playing with it, showing it to my customers. Again, please remember this is in preview.
Yep.
But because it is in the service, there's nothing in desktop to go and activate in order to go this show up. It should be there for you. You should be able to go into app.powerbi.com or just go to powerbi.com now because that redirects directly for you and be able to go find this when you hit that.
Fantastic, man. Yeah, this is a whole new world. I think this is probably one of the most significant structural changes to Power BI in the last few years.
Yeah, I'm very excited by it. I think this is going to be super cool. And I really can't wait to get to start playing with it and taking a look and understanding what people are doing and what they're trying to do with it. So last point of information for folks who want to go and start playing with this, you need to go into a premium backed workspace, PPU or premium per capacity. You go in, click on the new dropdown in the top, and you will find Data Mart's preview showing up there. That's how you get to it. Go ahead and take a look. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on Twitter. Shoot us an email, info@bifocal.show. And we look forward to bringing you more great information about this with the interview with Priya in the future.
All right, man. That probably does it for today. So can't wait to talk to Priya. Can't wait to talk to Trey. We got lots to talk about.
Oh, yes, sir. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Take it easy, man.
Thanks for listening to the Bifocal Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or via your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Twitter @BifocalShow. The show notes for this and all of the Bifocal Podcasts can be found on the Bifocal.show blog. The music for the Bifocal Podcast is Indie Rock by Scott Holmes and is shared under Creative Commons.